Hello, everyone. This is the Final Play Podcast. This week, we're talking about week two of the NBA season. All NBA news, a lot, of NBA injuries, and pretty much everything NBA.
Yeah, let's get it.
Welcome, everyone. My name's Jason.
My name's Miles. Currently uninjured, unlike a lot of people from the Golden State Warriors. So, sorry about that, Warriors fans. But your team has been seriously bitten by the injury bug in the last week.
Well, we don't have to go into the games. Let's start with that. Let's start with the injuries, because they're not the only team. But yeah, I mean, it's not like there were small injuries for small people. You know, the biggest casualty of all, of course, is Seth Curry. With a broken hand, officially out for 3 months, I think I read now.
Three to four months. Yeah, he had surgery on that during the week.
Yeah.
I think it was Friday. And it was actually the same doctor that performed the thumb surgery on Drew Brees' hand 6 weeks ago. So that was a little interesting note just there, but three months Gonski.
3 months. There's no real two ways about it. I know we can say a thing, a lot of players for that team, oh my god, but he is, to me, he's the heartbeat of that team. I mean, it's pretty plain and simple, I think.
Yeah, you could argue the point that it's either him or Draymond Green, but I think the numbers
who's
are
out as well.
Damning well, that's right, yeah, exactly. But the numbers are pretty damning without Steph Curry, and you know, vice versa, without Draymond Green, but with Steph Curry. So, she's a pretty hefty injury toll there at the moment. And D'Angelo Russell got hurt before the last game. During the Charlotte game. Mm. So they're down him now as well. So they've got a lot of starters out.
Well, so Draymond's, I think he's only out for a few games. He, I think he's torn a ligament in the finger. And what happened to D'Angelo? Sorry.
D'Angelo Russell had an ankle injury during the Charlotte game. So he went out fairly early as well.
Okay. I haven't seen any mention of, I guess, of, if he's going to have time out or anything like that, but.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I mean, but just look at that team that they fielded against Charlotte. I mean, it's unfortunate to talk about it, but, you know, they've been on such a pedestal, and it happens. Like, so the Hornets beat them 93-87. But this is the starting five for the Warriors. And I'm probably going to say some of these names wrong. So Willie Cauley-Stein, he must have just come back. I don't know how he pulled that out, because he was nowhere.
I think he's back. He's been back for a couple of games, I think.
Oh, okay. Jordan Poole, who is a really good player. Not a bad sort of player, but Jordan Poole, Bowman. I can't never remember his first name. Glenn Robinson III and Eric Paschal, that's right, was their starting five against the Hornets. So case in point last year you have to look at like any of the things of just the last series of last year, when it was starting five with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kevin Durant, and who was playing center? I think it was.
I'm pretty sure I seen that same meme. It was Damian Jones at the start of the year.
Damian Jones, yeah. So, unfortunately, a high contrast to, I guess, to last year. But I mean, this is just the nature of the beast. There's not much you can do about it. This is the way injuries are. They only lost. I mean, we are talking about Charlotte. Charlotte. No one was tipping to have a great season. They're not doing too bad, but they only lost by six. What do you think?
That was on the road in Charlotte as well. So that's I don't know who that's an indictment on more, whether it's an indictment on the Hornets or the Warriors.
So let's look at all after All-Star break. So can well, not theoretically, just in your judgment, will the Warriors make the eight?
No, absolutely not.
It's pretty plain and simple, isn't it?
No, it's pretty. I think it's pretty cut and dry that now with Draymond missing a couple of games, like he's going to have to shoulder, and obviously D'Angelo Russell as well, but Draymond Green is going to have to shoulder so much more of that load, whether it's playmaking, whether it's scoring, it's just the last probably season and a half, that just hasn't been Draymond's game. Last year wasn't a great scorer. He was sort of afraid to shoot that three, and people were just leaving him wide open. So he's going to once he gets back from that finger injury, he's going to have to really either fire up or just, I don't know, just let other people take the reins, you know, let D'Angelo Russell take the reins and, you know, some of the young guys, like you said, like Poole, who was their first round pick this year, and, you know, maybe Willie Cauley-Stein and players like that, and just let them go for it.
I guess it's really interesting because I thought, and I don't think it's going to happen now, I thought probably after the All-Star break, I thought they'd be trading D'Angelo Russell, depending on where their side was going and all that. Obviously, that's probably not going to happen now.
That's interesting now, though, with the team in the hole that they're in. Like, yeah, well, what do they do? Do they just persevere with this team now and not make any moves at the deadline?
Well, that's right. Do they, I hate the term, but like, I suppose it's a way to use it. Do they tank? Which basically in layman's terms means that you still put a competitive side out there, but basically you're, let's say, purposely losing for the sake of trying to get a high draft pick. Do they do that?
Well, they're inadvertently tanking now anyway.
Well, that's right. I mean, inadvertently, I hate the term because basically it says they're not trying. Like, they are still trying, but inadvertently.
No, of course they are.
They don't have the team that's going to really. Well, they have a team that'll get them a lottery pick, I think.
Yeah, but and that's the thing. It just depends on how low they sink, I guess. Like, what are they, 1-5, 1-6 at the moment? And you just don't know where's their next win going to come from.
No, and just looking ahead on the next couple of games, unfortunately, the ones against the Timberwolves and I think the other was against the Nuggets. So, the Timberwolves, yeah, and the Nuggets. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know where their wins are going to come from. And then they got the Jazz, so that's even harder. So, not sure, but
They could finish with 20. They could finish with 25 wins this year.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I never thought of that.
That just sounds ludicrous to say. And they've got a brand spanking new building there in San Francisco, wow. And apparently that last home game, I think it was against San Antonio. And yeah, there was empty seats everywhere. So surely the Warriors fan base hasn't deserted them already.
Well, we don't want to sort of keep harping. I mean, it's good. It's good to talk about. I just don't want to keep sort of chewing up the time. But I read an article that is this. I mean, there's a lot of theories going out there. They're dumb theories. But I read an article. Was this one of these? Like, you know, you always hear these curses that happen and everything. Was this a curse by? You know, the Oakland fans or the Oakland area, they just put a curse on them before they left and said, well, look, here's your present.
I'm down with that. Yeah.
Well, it'd be,
it'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting for the fact that if it is, the only reason I'm thinking is if it is, the Oakland Raiders moved to Las Vegas, it'll be interesting to see if they just shit the bed bit. And it's just like it continues an Oakland curse. Like the Oakland A's will move. And it's unlikely to them.
Oh, no. Well, you don't know. But, you know, they might have been putting a hex on them in the finals last year with Klay Thompson going down.
Well, they haven't won. That was the other article I read. They haven't won a home game. The late last year was their last home game. They lost the last two. So, yeah, they haven't won a home. They have not, well, not in their new stadium, but they haven't won a home game for quite a while.
No. No, well, the only game that the Warriors have won this year, and I should know, was against the hapless New Orleans Pelicans in New Orleans. And made them look like a disaster. So, yeah, I think that's their only win there. They haven't given a whole lot for the people in the Chase Center to cheer a whole lot about this year so far.
No, and I don't think it's going to get any better. But
I don't think so.
No, we won't. I guess we won't really harp on them too much. But did you want to talk a touch on injuries? Because obviously they're not the only team. I mean, they're the most extravagant team that's got injuries, but. You know, Jrue Holiday was another one it's happening. There's just a few stars out, like Blake Griffin, Jrue Holiday, Trae Young, although his isn't too bad, Miles Turner. So Zion, if you really want to throw him in there, but that was the start of the season.
That was before the season started. But yeah, Jrue Holiday out, but he did come back and played really well against Denver for New Orleans to get their first win of the season. At home, but yeah, the Trae Young injury, which sort of happened earlier, you know, a lot earlier in the week, before I think it was the day before the Steph Curry injury. As far as I know, yeah, there's no break in the ankle, and the MRI come back negative, so there's no structural damage or anything like that. So let's be a sit back and wait on Trae Young. And that sort of shot them a little bit because they were actually playing okay, but they've been pretty ordinary the last few games.
Yeah, I watched that the game against the Thunder. Yeah, it was fairly ordinary, I thought. Like, it didn't look like at all the Oklahoma OKC were going to lose at all. And I don't know if that was pure. Yeah, well, Jrue come back. Jrue had a decent game, but like, it's just the New Orleans Pelicans in general. Like, they didn't seem to have. Well, they just weren't there in that game. That's what I sort of looked at. They weren't really there. So
no, they've been for obviously I haven't got the highest hopes of playoffs or anything like that for the Pels, but
I did. Sorry about that.
I'll tell you what. They've looked ordinary to say the least. Like, you know, for the depth that they've got, I think it's just, you know, and I'll harp on it still for another couple of weeks, you know, I guess it's just chemistry, and obviously defensively they've just been horrendous. They give up so many points, but they can score fast points, like you can see that. Yeah, but they're just defensively, they're just horrendous.
And do, like, I mean, obviously everyone's waiting for Zion to sort of come back, but
Christmas Day.
I just don't know if he's going to make a huge difference, like, to what they're playing. He'll get him wins, but I think we all sort of, well, I know I did, it was sort of all built into a little bit of hype that, you know, they had a bit of depth and they might make the eight. I don't think so. Maybe like you said, they're too young, maybe. They're all getting used to each other.
And they've turned two-thirds of the roster over. So yeah. it's continuity as well. And obviously Brandon Ingram went out in the game the other day, and he got I think it was against OKC, he got hit in the head. Like, he doesn't have a concussion or anything, and he's been by far their best player. But he just, I don't know, he's not the greatest passer. You know, he doesn't really get everybody involved all that much like Lonzo or like Jrue Holiday does. Yeah, that's, I mean, they're dead. Once they get a little bit of continuity, and then I think, yeah, when Zion comes back Christmas Day, it'll be, they'll be a better team, but yeah, they'll obviously be in a fairly deep hole by the time that comes around.
Do you have any sort of standout teams / sort of games this week that caught your eye?
I guess the big one that sort of happened, I think it was just before the weekend, was the Rockets and the Wizards in Washington. It was 158 to 159 to 158. The Houston Houston win, 317 total points, and that was in regulation. That's not even overtime or anything like that. So I thought that was something that was interesting. Like, surely both of those teams just can't be that bad defensively to let in 158 and 159 points.
I mean, to me, the NBA is a very, what's the word? Except for a few players, and there are a few players that play defensively, but it's a very offensively centric.
Oh, it's crazy, game. but it's the way that a lot of the rules are and the way that it's officiated as well. You know, little ticky tack fouls that get called all the time and stuff like that. It's just you literally can't play defense anymore.
No, that's right. And just with that game, sort of, yeah, I watched it obviously because it was a massive high scoring. I sort of started watching at halftime, and I mean, holy hell, like this halftime, it was nearly, what was it? Nearly 100. I think it was sort of 78 to 76 at halftime, which is crazy for a halftime score. Yeah.
Just crazy.
That Rui Hachimura, I said it at the start. I like him. I like the way he plays. He is a really good young player. I mean, it is he stands out more because, you know, it is the hapless sort of Wizards. I just think he's going to be an ordinary
Wizard season.
But that's what you need with rookies. You know, you need to at least to get that confidence. Like, so he's
that's right.
I think he played. I mean, Bradley Beal obviously carried that team for that game, but Hachimura, yeah, he, you know, 23 points, 5 rebounds, so he played really well.
Well, if you weren't getting offense up in that game, then you in the NBA you're never going to, because the way that scoring went, then yeah, if you didn't get buckets in that game, yeah, you're never going to get any buckets.
Well, I guess it's just on that. James Harden, yes, he got 59 points, but you want to talk about the 3 points. His 3-point attempt slash his actual percentage.
Well, yeah, it's. I've seen an interview with him. I think it was just like a press conference after one of the games where he'd shot like 3 of 17 or something like that. And it's. I guess it's just one of those things at the moment. Like, he's going to keep shooting. Like, he's not going to stop. No. But I just, yeah, it's just interesting to sort of see his field goal percentage and his 3-point percentage this year. Like, he's only shooting 37% from the field in general. You know, with a combination of twos and threes, he's shooting 21% from three. He's 17 for 79 from downtown, from 3-point land, and from twos, he's only 35 of 62. And he's one of those guys that generally shoots a fairly high percentage because he gets to the cup a lot. So I thought that was a little bit interesting as well, that his 2-point percentage is 35 from 62. So, you know, that's only say 55% or so. So even that's not that great. He's shooting 95% from the free throw line, which is that's him. He doesn't miss free throws, but it's just, yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just one of them starts to the season where he's been off a little bit, but Houston have got the backup plan in Russell Westbrook.
Is that making a difference for him? Is that why it's probably not the difference. He is still getting his shots off, but yeah, I don't know. It's like what I was saying with Devin Booker from the Phoenix Suns. Devin Booker's actually relished in it, but James Harden used to be the guy that, you know, he'd carry the ball and shoot threes. You know, it looks like a little bit sort of he plays off ball to Westbrook, not all the time, but is he just not used to that? I don't know.
No, well, that's the thing. It's been his team. It's been his team for a long time, and he's always had those. He's always had those. Well, you know, not always, but he's the team's built around him. Either dribble, penetrate, get to the cup, score, or, you know, drive and kick, where it's a little bit different this year that it's going to be Westbrook doing a lot of that now. And is he going to be your sort of quintessential catch and shoot sort of player? And he's not really used to it. He's not, Yeah, last year with Chris Paul, when he was running the ball up and everything, James Harden just seemed disinterested in offense. You know, he would say he'd sort of lag up the court. He didn't want to be that sort of catch and shoot player. He wants to be the guy that bounces 40 times inside, you know, inside 20 seconds of the shot clock, and then all of a sudden, once the shot clock gets down, and then it's like, oh, hang on a minute, oh, well, I'll just get to the cup and score, or I'll drive and kick. So it's just, I think that's another thing where it's just, I think those two guys, okay, yeah, they played before, but that was what, 8 years ago. So
both of their games were pretty much rookies.
Yeah, that's, I mean, both of their games have completely evolved and is totally different to what it was back then in the Oklahoma City Thunder days. So those two have got to learn how to play together with their style, and D'Antoni's has got to put in a system for them as well. So the Rockets got blown out today by Miami.
On
the road. Yeah, they got beat by 29.
Yeah. Which was it wasn't shocking. It was Miami's home game, but Miami were really surprising to me, or at the moment so far. We're only sort of a couple of weeks in, but they are definitely a surprise packet this year.
We're getting an all right sample size from them now, 5-1, and they put 46 on Houston in the first quarter today. So it's once again, Houston's extreme deficiencies defensively. But it's you can't really sort of look too much into that, because I bet you if you look back through a lot of box scores, there'd be a lot of teams that have put 40-odd, 45-odd teams, you know, on teams inside one quarter a lot. Like, it's just an offensive explosion in the NBA, even more so than what it was last year. Like, offense is just at an absolute premium at the moment. And just, yeah, there's only a certain amount of people that seem interested in actually playing defense.
No, you're right. It's probably not as surprising, but I just with the Miami Heat, like, it's not completely, like, if we're talking against the Rockets, where it's just run between one and two people, I find Jimmy Butler's actually, like, letting the other ones play, if that makes sense. A lot of it's running, there's about five or six guys or seven guys that are really throwing the ball around and shedding the ball around between himself, Miles Leonard, between Robinson. You know, Gordon Dragic is playing well off the bench. So,
It looks like he's embraced that sort of bench role to come off there. You know, Tyler Hero, the rookie, Kendrick Nunn, Bam Adebayo, you know, the guys like that, like they're sharing the scoring around, and if Jimmy Butler's going to be your facilitator, especially with the first team, with the starters, then they're looking pretty good, and I think they haven't lost at home yet. I think they're 3-0 at home, so it's just interesting to sort of look at that Miami team and see that a lot of those guys have come in, you know, with rookies and Jimmy Butler coming in, and they don't look too badly as well. Like, Eric Spoelstra always gets the best out of guys that are, you know, you sort of, not so much role players, but, you know, they're solid starters, but they're not superstars. Like, Spo has always been like that. Other than that, I think Miami have been the surprise. I think the surprise team of the East, you know, at 5-1. So, and yeah, you know, well, as we talked about before as well, you know, the Hornets being 3-3, I thought that was a little interesting nugget before the season started, that the Hornets are actually not playing too badly with some of those, like we talked about, some of those horrendous contracts that they got on the books, but Terry Rozier that's there and Dwayne Bacon. I think they played really good against the Warriors the other day to sort of help them get past the injury plagued Golden State Warriors. So I think they're a bit of, and of, you know, the 76ers as well. They're 5-0, so you know, they're almost running away with the East at the moment.
Yeah, the 76ers, and they've also had Joel Embiid. Well, he was always there up until a little bit of a scuffle with Karl Anthony Towns, which ruined my fantasy league. But anyway, thanks, Joel. I know they were sort of obviously locking up, but what, like, who doesn't like seeing it, obviously, you know, two big guys tying it up, everything like that. I just don't see the problem, the whole carry on of Joel when he got ejected, like getting, you know, wouldn't that normally get fined by, you know, the NBA? I don't know. It's just the way he can play it up to the crowd.
I don't even know who started it.
When I was watching it, because there's 1,000 replays, went up for a rebound, and then so the ball kept playing, and they were sort of locked arms, locked arms, and classic two big centers didn't want to let go. No one wanted to let go out of those, and they just stayed locked up, and then they sort of started pushing. There was no punches thrown. It was, as Chuck would say, it was a cuddle fest, as Chuck would say. Interestingly enough, just to break it up, Ben Simmons had Karl Anthony Towns in a headlock and got nothing for it.
Right. He had him on the ground, the chokehold.
Yeah, yeah, no, she was definitely in a chokehold. It looked like Karl Anthony Towns was tapping out. It was hilarious. It looked like he was actually tapping. It was awesome.
He was the peacemaker, according to the NBA. He was the peacemaker. I'm sure that a lot of Timberwolves fans would beg to differ.
Yeah, it looked literally like a crossface for wrestling fans out there.
it was crazy. Well,
STFU, like, yeah, or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, it wasn't a peacemaker. That was
he was totally 100%.
He was watching UFC last week, and he decided just to start doing it on the court. I don't know.
He might have been getting a little bit excited about the Nate Diaz Jorge Masvidal fight that was on over the weekend.
The old BMF title. He might have been
a little bit excited about that. Like, both of those guys got suspended for 2 games, for their little cuddle fest. But it didn't stop. It didn't stop there either. Like, Joel Embiid doing Joel Embiid things, and, you know, trolling on Twitter and Instagram, and sort of bringing Jimmy Butler into it as well. It's just like, oh, Jimmy Butler be down in Miami, just going, good God, can you just leave me out of this, please?
Well, they interviewed Jimmy Butler, and he just goes, as soon as he found out there was something going on, he goes, he knew Joel was going to tag him in it, because it was a Timberwolves thing, and then it was a 76ers thing. And he just said, me knowing Joel was going to put me in that. I had no choice. So all that crap aside, they've gelled really quickly. Really quickly. They have some depth. They're going to be a hard team to beat, in the East at least, anyway.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But they're going to be, I think they're going to be like the Warriors. They're a star injury away from their season going into the toilet. Tobias Harris is playing well.
Quinn's playing well. He's playing really well, which is kind of good, because I like him. I liked him in the Knicks.
Quinn was always solid with the Knicks, though. He's a solid player. He's an undersized center / power forward, but. Yeah. When he got his opportunities when he played for the Knicks, like, he wasn't that bad.
He was good. I liked him. But you're right. I suppose you're right. They probably are a star player away from, sort of like losing the rails, so to speak. But there's 1,000 teams that are probably a one star away, that if they do, it'll just, that's just going to be their season.
No, that's right. Yeah, if Simmons goes down, Tobias Harris goes down, if Joel Embiid, he's fragile. He's not as fragile anymore, but, you know, they're going to have to do the same sort of thing. Just in regards to load management, like the Clippers are doing with Kawhi Leonard, which has already started already, which I thought was rather interesting. That he's been rested already in the first game of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, well, let's talk about the Clippers. I mean, look, they do have PG out on his double shoulder surgery, so they are, I guess, waiting. Well, probably the whole Clippers sort of fans waiting in bated breath for him to come back. But I mean, this with Kawhi, that's just how he is. He's not an 82 game player. He's a load managed 60 game player. So it's just, yeah, there's just not, like, you know, and it, but he'll come out like that game against the Jazz where he just scored 18 points in 10 minutes. Like, that was just ridiculous.
That's him. That's what he's doing at the moment. But, you know, it's game five of the season. And I get it. It's a back-to-back. It was the first game of a back-to-back. And then he ended up playing the second game of that back-to-back against San Antonio and then put on like 38 points. So, look, you know, I get it, but, oh man, game five into the season and he's already having, you know, healthy DNPs. It's just, yeah, it's a little, for me, it's a little frustrating.
And how does that play in the fact of, I don't think he cares about this, but if he, say he only plays 60 games, let's just say that because he's load managed. How does that play?
I reckon he'll get 65. I reckon he'll get about 65 games.
How does it play in MVP calculations? Do they look at the players that have been playing the whole season? I don't know. And it probably isn't. But like I said at the start, I don't think he cares either.
Really? No, I don't think he would. I'm sure. You know, a league MVP would look like nice on his resume, but it just. I don't think it. You know, if you're playing 60 games. You know, I don't think you really should sort of come into calculations unless you're hurt.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think so.
If you're getting healthy DNPs, then unless he just has, you know, an absolutely phenomenal season where he's just, you know, defensively locking everybody down and scoring 32 points a game and 9 rebounds. Yeah, maybe 5 assists or something like that. I just don't think he can come into calculations for the MVP if he's playing 60 to 65 games in the year with healthy DNPs.
No, that's right. I don't think so either. And really probably shouldn't be allowed, but...
That's not be allowed, but I think people, you know, the people who vote for the MVP and do all the player awards at the end of the year, which is all like media and people like that. So I think that would be... There's got to be people that would be having, you know, 70 to 75 games of the year on good teams that will come into more, you know, more consideration for the MVP.
The other, I guess, surprise packets so far in terms of the teams, I think we were talking about the Phoenix Suns.
What's happened in the water at Phoenix? Like, it's they're 4-2 at the moment.
I think it's Rubio.
An underrated part of that is the coaching of Monty Williams.
Yeah, I completely agree. I reckon Dario Saric has completely slid in there well, so to speak. They're not a bad team. They've had DeAndre Ayton's out for 25 games for some. I don't know what to call it. Diuretic.
Diuretic.
Yeah. Yeah, let's say the proper one.
It was the diuretic thing, but like you said, yeah, filling in his place has been Aaron Baines, and he's been lights out.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really, really playing well. I think his last game was what did he get for the last game? I'm not picking it up actually, but he's been filling in well. They've got a little bit of depth more than I guess sort of I led to believe at the start. Like, they have Mikal Bridges, who's been playing pretty well as well. Kelly Oubre, you know, is another player that we're not really talking about, but he's been playing very well. I just like Rubio. I just think the way he promotes Devin Booker to at least sort of have that shot where Devin Booker doesn't have to do everything.
No, that's right. It frees him up to play his more natural game as a two, you know, that off guard position, and Rubio, and Rubio is a terrific distributor of the ball. So that's, I mean, if you're open and he'll find you. Like, I think that's an underrated part of Rubio's game. Oh, not of his game, but, you know, of his sort of NBA persona, that, you know, he's not really that terrific scorer, but, you know, he'll find you if he's open.
Just touch on before we move on, just speaking of underrated, the other, I guess, underrated team and even underrated player, I'm a big Andre Drummond fan from the Detroit Pistons. Yeah, look, they're 3-4. They're not sort of lighting the world on fire, but it's his third straight 2020 game, 25 points and 20 rebounds against the Brooklyn Nets. He is extremely underrated, in my opinion, and is up to the contract season too. So no one really talks about him that much, which sort of, I don't know, it befuddles me. I don't know, like, he's...
Because he's in Detroit, that's why he didn't get talked about.
Good point. So, yeah, I just thought noticed that since he got his third 2020 game, I think, I like it. I think he's a great player. He's very underrated. He could be very, very good trade bait for a contending team.
No, that's right. Well, yeah, I've actually sort of tagged him as my start of the week. So, I think he's been playing. Yeah, he's been. He's been playing. he's been playing terrific lately. That's all right. I can switch that up. But that's I had him touted as probably one of the best players of this previous week.
Well, I guess we've got sort of two more things before we sort of move on. Is there any sort of news you want to sort of wrap it up with before we look at studs and does it the week?
a couple of things that sort of have caught the eye this week. The Bucks have sort of been a little bit up and down. They had the game over the weekend against the Celtics. But the Celts, they had a bit of a comeback in that game, and actually beat the Bucks. I think it was 116-105, outscored them by 27 points in the second half. Mm-hmm. So, the Giannis and Middleton, obviously the two stars of that team, but Kemba Walker has been, had 32 points. Hayward had a double-double, 21 and 10, and Jason Tatum with 25. I thought that was an interesting game over the weekend, two sort of heavyweights in the Eastern Conference. The Celtics, getting the wood over Milwaukee to sort of start the season off.
And Gordon Hayward looks like he's playing good. I mean, this is the Gordon Hayward, I guess, back at Utah. I'm sort of not talking about the last couple of seasons.
I think this was going to be his sort of season of comeback, I guess, like when you have those disgraceful, injuries that he had. You know, he had that dislocated ankle at the start of the season before. Oh. Like, that just, it's just horrendous. Oh. And, he came back last year. Yeah, no, it's, oof. Yeah.
Just why? Don't Google it, but if you do, it's hard to look at.
Yeah, it's just the ankle's not meant to point that way.
No, it's not. It's not.
And the same thing happened with Paul George. That seems like a lifetime ago now. Yeah. We had in the Team White versus Team Blue USA, where he completely snapped his leg. This is going to be the year that they're hoping that Gordon Hayward was going to have, and Jason Tatum has looked pretty good this year to start off as well. So that's a good sign for the Celtics.
Well, we'll move on because we've got a little bit of a good game to sort of play at the end, and people have probably heard this game before, but we'll move on to our studs and duds of the week.
Off the TV network, but anyway.
Yeah. It does. It's got nothing to do with the kaboom. I don't know it. Anyway, I guess we both mentioned Andre Drummond as a stud ish of the week. He was my stud. So, did you have another one sort of written down there?
Well, you could. That's, I mean, obviously you totally thieved my start of the week, so I'm going to have to come up with another one.
What are you talking about? It was fine. We don't talk enough.
That's good. That's good pre-pod planning right there. Yeah. Also, yeah, he's been lighting it up too. Has been Luka Doncic. He's had 2 triple doubles this week.
Yeah. One of them was against my guys, the Los Angeles Lakers. It was like, oh man, they were talking it up like it was a duel of buddy Jordan and buddy. Oh, let's say Magic and Bird. It was like. Like,
oh yeah, it was insane. The hype around that game, and it went to overtime. But
it was a very, very fun game to watch. But Luka has been on fire. Even LeBron says he's a very hard person to defend against. Very hard person to defend against.
And like I said last week, the thing with Luka is he's got to stop falling in love with that step back three. I think he's got to be a little bit, to say a little bit more assertive. You know, look at his numbers from the other day. It was like 29, 14 rebounds, 15 assists. You know, in that game against the Lakers, he had 31 points, 13 rebounds, 15 assists. You know, for him to be a little bit more, his shot selection could be a little bit better.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's just one of those, I mean, he's still young too. Like, we all don't, I mean, he's only been, last year he was 19, this year he's 20. So it's one of those things.
He's got 11 triple doubles already in his career.
Yeah, which is phenomenal. I guess on that, I am still befuddled why, Mark Cuban's seen it, but how they ended up with him as a number 3 pick, it befuddles me that he wasn't taken number 1, because everybody was talking him number 1. And I'm not got nothing against DeAndre Ayton.
No, that's right.
But
Atlanta picking Trae Young over him.
Oh, that's right. And they moved down because they knew. Didn't they say Atlanta were always going to pick Trae Young? So they moved down, and I think they picked up.
That's right. So they
an
moved
extra
out.
Draft pick yep, something. Right. So
they moved out of their draft spot to take Trae Young. I don't think they had any interest at all in Luka Doncic, which is just. You know, the I guess we'll find out in a couple of years, you know, but Trae Young's looking pretty good as well.
Oh, he is looking good, but I just think I think Luka's got more upside. I think Trae's too reliant on his shot because he can't defend. He's a terrible defender.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, Doncic is a heavy scorer, but yeah, all you got to do is have a look at how many triple doubles he's got as well. You know, he's a big point guard. He can get you rebounds, and he's a good distributor of the ball as well. Not to say that Trae Young isn't a good distributor of the ball, but Trae Young is your more of your Steph Curry mold type point guard, where he's only going to get maybe 4 or 5 assists a game, but is going to light you up for 25 to 30 each game.
I hope we've got the same. But who's your dud of the week? I really hope we've got the same. Just for pre-planning.
Yeah, once again, planning. Look, duds of the week have been a little. You could have gone with teams.
I did.
You know, maybe even though Sacramento's now won 2 on the trot, but you know, Sacramento, I've looked at.
That's my dud of the week.
But that's what I mean. But they've won 2 on the trot now, so they're looking a little better. Yeah, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield are starting to sort of get that chemistry back again. But oh boy, they've been rough to watch this year.
They've been very rough to watch. They I read an article last week that you know, they had a poor start and everything. The players have given up on Luke Walton already in 5 games, which is crazy. But a lot of them, they said, and look, there's a lot of thing to read into that. And you don't have to buy into this, but a lot of them, they were the first team to have a preseason game in India. So of what I've read, a lot of them didn't. They probably come back with stuff, but they did not like going to their end of that preseason game. And, you know, you don't have to read into that. It's just, it's just funny that, you know, little things like that, if it's, if it's, you know, deters your mindset at the start of the season. They none of the players were happy with it. I don't know if they just don't like hot food or what it was. I have no idea.
That's a long haul too, to go from, you know, to go from the West Coast of the United States to India. Like, that's a big trip.
Yeah, it is, because it's not like the ones where they went to China and all that. So
even that's still a big trip, but then you still got to add another couple more hours to get to India as well. Like, that's a long haul for a preseason game.
It is. So a lot of people were saying that, and look, I don't know how much I buy into it, because I was very hyped on them to at least definitely make the top 8, and it was still early. They still may. The next week games, they got the Raptors, the Hawks, and Portland. So we'll just see. Like, their last two games were against Knicks and the Jazz. So I don't know. I just think they're duds, because I think it feels like there's a lot of excuses getting thrown around. Like, you know, players. Yeah,
exactly.
And this is all it's like everything all rumors, but like, oh, let's blame Luke Walton, let's blame our preseason. Blame yourselves. You know, you're the one that are.
No, well, it's it. No, yeah, let's blame the Marvin Bagley getting hurt, yes, sort of early.
True. Yes, but you know, they have depth. They've still got
decent enough talent to be putting. It's not so much the losing. It's been that their games have just been horrible. Like, they, you know, they're losing badly.
Yeah, I completely agree. But they're I mean, you're right. Marvin Bagley will make a big difference to that side. Hopefully, he should. He really should.
They wiped out the Knicks today, didn't they? Like, yeah, that's not really that hard. But yeah, they sort of put a hurting on the Knicks. I think it was at MSG too, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was.
That's just a. Oof, that's just a battle of the cellar dwellers right there. With, you know, the Knicks and the Kings. Good God.
So after you took my dud in the week, who was yours?
Well, there you go. Let's just carry on with that same theme. You can almost say the New York Knicks. Like, they're getting pumped. They're just getting pumped at home. Okay,
but in reality, we were never talking the New York Knicks up. Really?
Oh God, no! But it's the battle of the left-handers in New York, and you know how many power forwards they've got, and it's just and the thing is too, like, Frank Ntilikina as well, like, he had a really good World Cup for France,
yeah,
and he's come back to the Knicks, had a decent preseason. He has been ordinary to start this year.
Yeah,
it just goes to show that the drop off in competition when you come back to the NBA, then you do that. The world game is sort of spread a lot more a lot more evenly, and there's not as many good players on each team. But I don't know what it is with him. Yeah, him and the NBA. He just can't seem to get it going. Like, he was burying threes for France. Like, just this year, he's just been rotten.
Nah, yeah, he has.
I was looking at him to have a big season for the Knicks. Obviously they were going to be bad this year, but you know, coming off the World Cup and how well he played, it just all signs pointed to, you know, him having a fairly decent season. He just hasn't so far.
Yeah, well, just even on the World Cup, there was a lot of players that I thought, the anyone that I really think that's sort of come from that is Rubio. Rubio's looked gelled in, you know, he's played the World Cup. He wasn't one of those players that sit out, you know, going to a new team, because he was going to an entire new team, new division and everything.
That's right, exactly. A lot of teams had stars like that just said, no, we've been moved on to another city. We're going to concentrate on that. And Rubio went, no, I'm going. Yeah, and he played pretty well for Spain. Well, the thing is, Patty Mills, yeah, he obviously didn't move, but you know, Patty Mills did the same thing.
Yeah, true. But yeah, DeJounte Murray's playing pretty, I think, pretty good. I mean, that was he was always going to be the point guard, I think.
Oh, no, of course.
But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's not hard not to pick out sort of certain players, but I really think, the Kings and the Knicks, Let's say it is. It's just, it's easy to pick out the teams, really. Unfortunately,
I think that was easy prey.
So we are now coming to a time. We've got a bit of time left, which is good. Don't know who out there watches. Surely, if you follow NBA, you watch Inside the NBA on TNT. Well, it could be on a lot of stations, depending on what you want. We watch at ESPN here. YouTube, you can find a thousand things. With Inside the NBA, they play a little preseason or during the season game. It's only in the few games in, called Who He Play For. it's derived, I think it started, I think I was reading it, it was 2008 or 2009. That's how long this game's been going on for. Let's call it a game where
do they generally just do it with Chuck? Like
it's always Charles Barkley. It's always been with Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley has done this from the start. I think his best here, he always gets 5 attempts, and I think his best is 3 in 12 years. So, yeah, it's a fun game. We're probably going to be just as worse. I'm sure we're going to pick up players that we're going to go have no idea who's in what sort of team. But, yeah,
the first week, I thought, since it's the first week, I thought it'd be sort of easy. You know, guys, you know, you could be a bit of a prick about it and just pick guys that nobody's frigging heard of. But, I thought the two that I come up with, I thought were, you know, guys' names that you've heard of before.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'll go with that then. I'll do two and I'll go. All right, I'll cross a few out, and I'll go. I've had some real curly ones.
I only thought about it the other day, just as I was watching and sort of names popped up on box scores, and I went, oh wow, okay, he's there. So that's me. I only wrote down a couple. So yeah, if you've got more, then yeah, let's hit it.
All right. Well. Obviously, no one can see who we're talking about, but you should all Google this later.
No cheating either. No cheating.
No. My hands will be up here when you talk. So,
hands like this.
So who he played for? Miles Plumlee.
Oh wow!
Who you have heard of Miles Plumlee? So I can go with that, and I'm sure you've heard of Miles Plumlee.
Oh, wow. Pretty sure he was with Phoenix last year.
Yeah.
Is he playing for Charlotte now?
No, he's playing for the Atlanta Hawks. Which, but he's
Hey, yeah. Same division.
Same division. Are we gonna do one for one, or we're just gonna just sort of go from just throw a couple out, go from there?
No, let's strike while the iron's hot. Let's keep it up.
Okay. Now I know you've heard of this guy, and it's only because he's got terrible contracts. But who does this guy play for now? Timothy Mozgov.
Oh my god! Ah!
I'll do a last one. I'll do is easy. I'll do an easy one for last one. But who does he play for?
Where's he at? Holy moly, it's great podcasting there with just like complete silence, but
I don't know.
I haven't seen him on a box score, I don't think he's back in Cleveland. Surely he's not back in Cleveland.
No. Let's throw a clue out. Everyone. He's in the East.
He's in the East.
He's in the East.
Orlando.
Yes. Correct.
Hey!
Where'd you get that? I'm surprised.
Oh, yeah, he's on the Magic.
he's on the Magic.
Oh, look, hands are here. Hands are here.
No. I know your hands were up. He was obviously traded from the Lake Show. We ended up in Brooklyn, got shipped to Orlando. He hasn't played yet, but he's still sitting on a cool $16 million this year. So.
He's doing a Luol Deng. He's going to sit there and earn his 20 million and do nothing.
Well, now I can get rid of that. He was my last player to throw out there, but I think you know where he is, so I'll get rid of Luol Deng. And I think you'll know this next one.
No, Luol Deng signed a one-day contract with the Chicago Bulls so he could retire as a Bull.
But who is that? Who he plays for at the moment?
I thought he was done. I thought he retired.
He was done.
I thought he did a one-day contract so he could retire a Bull.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, that's true. So you did know that one. The only other one that
I wouldn't have a clue where he was before that.
he was at the Minnesota Timberwolves. So, okay. Who does this guy play for? So the last one, Joakim Noah.
He's at Memphis. Is he at Memphis?
Yes. Good work. Yes. He's at the Grizz. Ooh.
He was there. He was there last year for a little bit.
Yeah, no. Yeah, he's still there. Only collecting 1.7, but
was he getting that at the Knicks? I thought he had a decent contract at the Knicks. That contract must have been paid out.
Paid out. Well, that's all I had. You throw me hands up here with
the water. Right, okay, hands in the air.
I'm probably going to get these wrong, but let's go.
Let's go with Emmanuel Mudiay.
New York Knicks.
Well, that's where he was.
Oh, was he? I thought he was still there.
One more shot.
Dallas Mavericks.
Ooh, I was going to give you the Western Conference. He is in the West. He's in the Utah Jazz.
The Utah Jazz. Wow. No,
just one of those names. That's one of those names that just popped up while I was looking at a box score, and I'm just like, what?
One of those players that I guess a lot of people thought. I mean, he was destined for greatness, but obviously that didn't work out.
He was kind of disappointed. How he played. He was inconsistent in the Nuggets. I thought he was a good pickup for the Knicks, but. That obviously didn't work out in New York there either. Okay, so, all right, the last one that I've got, and I could probably rustle up one more if I sort of look through some box scores, but the last one that I've got, and, yeah, he was a fairly high draft pick. It was a few years ago now, was Marquise Chris.
Oh, I only see his name long ago too. He's playing pretty good this year. I'm sure I read that. Oh, not, like, great, like setting the world on fire.
I'm not so sure about that.
Okay, well, it's probably the wrong Marquise. There's not many names out there. East or West?
No, we've got a Western Conference.
Okay, now you don't have to do that. Phoenix Suns.
Oh, that's where he was drafted to.
I shouldn't be picking the ones that they were at. my God. Western Conference, Marquise Chris. I'm not going to get this. Let's say... Jesus. Western Conference. Let's say Dallas Mavericks. I got nothing.
No. He is one of those... brilliant bench players on the Golden State Warriors.
Oh, of course he is. No, he might be playing because everybody's
That's just another one of those ones that just sort of popped up. Yeah.
So it's funny. The ones you think that these high draft picks aren't really sort of like Mudiay and Chris, they're not really going anywhere, really.
No, they're sort of look like they're flop. Like Marquise Chris, like he hasn't been, I think his whole career, like at least Mudiay sort of shown glimpses that he can be good. But yeah, Marquise Chris is just not shown promise at all.
No, well, clearly, because I haven't heard of him until he went to the, well, I did hear him at Phoenix. So yeah, no, that's about it. So I never knew he was at the Golden State Warriors.
Nope.
I'm going to rustle one more up before we finish.
All right, I'm going to rustle one more up for you.
Ah.
You would have heard of him.
Anthony Davis.
Shabazz Napier.
Yeah, I've heard of Shabazz Napier. Oh, there's no way. I haven't seen his name for years. Oh, Shabazz Napier.
He gets around a little bit.
Shabazz Napier. I'll just do what Chuck does and just throw a guess out there. This is Chuck. The Cleveland Cavaliers. Although I reckon you can pick the jerseys. I don't know why Chuck doesn't do that. A few of those you can pick the jerseys, but anyway.
No, that's true.
Where does Shabazz play?
He's currently playing for the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, he has been on so many teams.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's not. Nah, I would have never picked that. So.
No, that's totally out there.
Yeah, so it's a fun game. It's a game that we don't really have to play all year round because. Because we'll never get right.
It's just funny when you look through scores and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden you see like a name that pops out, and you go, oh wow, that's where he is.
Actually, I'll give you one more before we finish. We have a little bit of time, and I'm pretty sure he was a number one draft pick.
Is it number one overall?
He was the number one draft pick overall. I don't know if he's playing anywhere now, but I could be wrong. Hopefully he's playing somewhere. They're just thinking of the, I guess, no, he's not playing anywhere. I don't think it's going to help you. No, I was going to throw Anthony Bennett out there.
Anthony Bennett, is he playing? He's playing in
G League.
Yeah, I was going to say, is he playing for whoever Toronto's affiliate is?
He's playing for the Toronto Clippers, correct.
Yeah, that's what I thought. He's not in the league anymore. Oh boy, didn't Cleveland get that one wrong? Didn't they get that one wrong?
We might look at that in the next couple of pods. Just that might be sort of fun, like looking at the draft. A couple of we're going to go back 5 years, even just the draft picks, because the 5 years is good. The draft picks that went wrong. Like, it's, you know, Anthony Bennett won. I think the number four or five draft pick that year was Donovan Mitchell. So, or three or four, I think he was.
I think Anthony Bennett was 2013, was he?
Yeah.
Because I'm sure Cleveland had him. Yeah, had like two number ones in the last 3 years. They picked Kyrie Irving. Obviously, that was a good one. And then, yeah, and they picked Anthony Bennett. Then the year, I think 2014... was Andrew Wiggins, and that was Cleveland again.
Well, that might be a fun sort of thing to look at. Look at teams that, well, I guess, where players could have potentially ended up if they do. But that's like a lot of if so anyway. But even if you just look at the last few years, that'd be fun. Exactly. I mean, unfortunately for Anthony Bennett, before we finish, his career highlights so far in the NBA is 12.6 minutes, 4.4 points, and 3.1 rebounds. So and this is the number one pick. And not like a
number one pick, and it was just so bizarre. Just remember, it was so bizarre. Like UNLV, come out of UNLV, and he wasn't actually too bad. But when they read the number one pick was Anthony Bennett, I think they would have been like, oh wow, where did that come from?
I actually thought he was a bit overweight when he came in. Like there's a lot of things.
He was a big unit. Anthony
Bennett, but. I'm sure there's going to be a 30 for 30 about anything better, probably. No, an ESPN, but anyway.
Well, that won't take very long.
No, that's true. But it'd be like a good 30 for 30, I think, would be just about NBA draft busts or what could have been, basically. But, yeah, that won't take long with Anthony Bennett, I suppose.
Like Darko Milicic.
Yeah, wow. That is a name I haven't heard of ages.
Detroit didn't think that one through very well.
No, they didn't. No, they definitely didn't. I got one more before we go because I like this game. Anthony Tolliver, but you probably know where he's playing.
Anthony Tolliver?
Yeah, he's still playing great.
He was at Minnesota. Is he still there?
Nah.
He's not there anymore.
Nah. He had I think he got 12 points. He got 12 points on the weekend. Still the great 3-point shooter at 38.
Anthony Tolliver. Cleveland.
Oh, I'm white stump here. Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, just picked him up. Just picked him up this year, but yeah, at the moment it's probably not sort of too bad because they've got a few injuries at the moment. So unfortunately,
yeah, well, they're not playing with a true center at the moment. Like they're playing extreme small ball at the moment.
Yeah, well, Tolliver was their starting center last game. He didn't play 4 minutes, obviously, but 12 points. So he's still
Whiteside's hurt. Whiteside's hurt at the moment.
I love seeing your 6'6", 6'7" people step out and have a three. I just love seeing forwards shoot that three in centers. It just looks magical. I don't know why. It just looks magical. It just doesn't look right, but then it's just magical.
Some of them don't look right.
No, some of them don't look right. Well, that'll do it for our NBA week two of the Final Play Pod. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and on Facebook, obviously. Twitter's at the Final Play Pod. Facebook's the Final Play Podcast. SoundCloud as well as the Final Play Podcast.
So we got NFL coming up week 9. And everybody enjoy your NBA for the week as well.
Enjoy the NBA. We'll talk about the NFL tomorrow that I'm not going to be happy about, but we'll just go from there. Hopefully the Cowboys will, you know, get my mood better about the NFL, but we'll see. Hopefully, or I'm going to be terrible tomorrow.
Hopefully they kick a mark and kick me to victory.
Well, I can do 65-yard bomb, so hopefully.
That's right. Yeah, I need a couple of field goals tomorrow. All right, we'll talk about the NFL tomorrow.
Peace.
Take care, everybody.
See ya. See ya.